الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الصف اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض وهو العزيز الحكيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله ان تقولوا ما لا تفعلون ان الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كانهم بنيان مرصوص الى قوله تعالى يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا انصار الله كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من انصاري الى الله قال الحواريون نحن انصار الله فآمنت طائفة من بني اسرائيل وكفرت طائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمین یا رب العالمین. The second lesson of the fourth part of the selected course of study of the Quran which we are discussing in these sessions consists of Surah As-Saff. This is the most profound and comprehensive surah of the Quran on the subject of jihad fi sabilillah and qital fi. Although a very small surah, consisting of only 14 ayat, two sections. But I repeat my words, most comprehensive and most profound surah of the Quran, regarding not only jihad fi sabilillah, but also qital fi sabilillah. What's the goal, what's the aim of jihad and qital fi sabilillah? What is the important, inevitable, prerequisite of salvation for a Muslim? Jihad fi sabilillah. And thirdly and lastly, but last but not the least, what is the basis of organization needed for the purpose of jihad fi sabilillah or qital fi? This cannot be performed without a party, organization. A single person cannot do. A single person can go on giving dawah. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, we know, he continued his dawah, his calling towards Allah, towards the path of Allah, for 950 years. He can go on continuing it. But jihad and qital, for that you need a group. Organized group of dedicated, disciplined people. What's the basis of that party? What's the basis of that organization? So these three very important aspects of the discussion on jihad fi sabilillah and qital fi sabilillah. What's the goal? What's the aim? What for jihad? And number two, what's the importance? Is it something additional? Some nafl or something essential, inevitable for salvation? And number three, what's the basis of the organization that is needed to wage jihad in the cause of Allah and to go to qital? Now please just recollect some basic terminology of the Quran which we have already studied. In Surah Al-Asr we had four prerequisites of salvation. والعصر ان الانسان لفی خسر الا الذین آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. ایمان، عمل صالح، تواصی بالحق، تواصی بالصبر. جب بھی ہے نظر ٹرم یا بنی آسم الصلاۃ وامر بالمعروف ونہی عن المنکر واصبر علی ما اصابک، ان دی ایڈوائس آف حضرت لقمان. او مائی ڈیئر لٹل سن، اسٹیبلش دی پریئر، کمانڈ وٹ ایور از کریکٹ جسٹ ٹرو، فرمٹ فرام وٹ ایور از رانگ انجسٹ، اینڈ دین ہیو پیشنس، بیئر وٹ ایور کم فور یو. دین وی ہیڈ اندر ٹرم، ومن احسن قولا ممن دعا الى الله وعمل صالحا. And in the same lesson we had, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. دَعْوَا إِلَى اللَّهِ, calling people towards Allah, and then on every verbal or physical persecution to have sabr, patience, forbearance, steadfastness. Then we had jihad fi sabili Allah. It started, you know, from Surah Al-Hujurat. The comprehensive definition of who a mu'min is. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. This ayah, please memorize. Please memorize. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. True mu'mins are only those. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then have no doubts whatsoever. This faith of theirs, this belief of theirs, reaches the level of conviction. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And then they wage jihad for the cause of Allah and spend in this jihad whatever is there in their bodies, their bodily resources, capabilities, intelligence, understanding, working potential, and whatever belongs to them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Only such people are true if they claim to be mu'min. May Allah include us all in them. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Then we had in the previous lesson, the first lesson of the fourth part, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Wage jihad in the way of Allah as much as is His right. Go on. And now, what's the aim of jihad fi sabilillah? What's the importance of jihad fi sabilillah? And what's the basis of the organization for that jihad and qital fi sabilillah? This is the subject of this Surah Al-Mubarakah. This is the third surah from amongst the group of 10 Madani surahs that I referred to you before when we were studying Surah Al-Taghabun. The biggest collection of Madani surahs as far as the number is concerned. The biggest collection of Madani surahs regarding length is the first collection. Four surahs: Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-Ma'idah. More than six parts of the Quran. Six and a quarter. That's the biggest collection of Madani surahs. But they are four. And you have 10 Madani surahs in one group, starting from Surah Al-Hadid, ending with Surah Al-Tahrim. Surah Al-Hadid, Surah Al-Mujadala, Surah Al-Hashr, Surah Al-Mumtahina, Surah Al-Saf, Surah Al-Jum'ah, Surah Al-Munafiqun, Surah Al-Taghabun, Surah Al-Talaq, Surah Al-Tahrim. Out of these 10, we have already studied two. Surah Al-Taghabun, in the second part of this selected course of study. And I told you, it's the most comprehensive Surah of the Quran regarding Iman. Then Surah Al-Tahrim, that we read and studied during the third part of this selected course. Family life. What are the obligations of Muslims towards their families? And now this is the third Surah. When we were studying Surah Al-Taghabun, I gave you some points which are very important regarding this group of Surahs. I have to repeat because more than 2 weeks have passed now. And now because we are going to study Surah Al-Saf, then Surah Al-Jum'ah, then Surah Al-Munafiqun, three surahs of this collection. So please recall some basic points about this this collection of Madani surahs. Number one, this sixth group of Makki and Madani surahs is balanced as regards the size of the Makki and Madani surahs, just as the second group from the beginning is balanced. In the second group, we have two Makki surahs, Suratul Anam, Suratul Araf. Two Madani surahs, Suratul Anfal, Suratul Tawbah. Then again, Makkiyat starts. Here also we find seven surahs which are Makki, Suratul Qaf, Suratul Zariyat, Suratul Tur, Suratul Najm, Suratul Qamar, Suratul Rahman, Suratul Waqiyat. And then 10 are these Madaniyat. But nearly the Makki and Madani are equal in their sizes. One and a quarter part of the Quran are occupied by those seven surahs and these 10 surahs. The Makki surahs of this group are very unique in this respect, that they constitute the most beautiful part of the Quran as regards the literary beauty. Quran was the biggest miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it has many aspects. It is a miracle in many aspects, in many respects. But the most important aspect of the miracle of Quran at that time when it was being revealed was its literary beauty. The Arabs were overawed by the literary beauty of Quran. That is why Quran challenges, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. That was the challenge. The basis was the literary beauty of the Quran. And let me tell you, from Surah Al-Qaf and Surah Al-Ariyat, then Surah Al-Tur, then Surah Al-Najm, Surah Al-Qamar, Surah Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, this is the most beautiful part of the Quran as regards the literary beauty. The rhythm, the flow, the sound effect. And that is why the Prophet has said about Surah Al-Rahman. Surah Al-Rahman, Urusul Quran, is the bride of the Quran. Regarding the Madani surah of this group, a few points, please note them, try to remember them. Number one, all of these 10 Madani surahs except one, Surah Al-Hashr, they were revealed in the later half of the Madani period. Surah Al-Baqarah, the first Madani surah. The time of the revelation of Surah Al-Baqarah was beginning from Hijrah till the time of Ghazwat al-Badr. Then Surah Al-Imran, we know it. But all these surahs were revealed in the later half, after the fifth year of Hijrah. Except one, and then Surah Al-Hashr. Number two, and most important, these surahs address Muslims only. Never the kuffar are addressed. Never the mushrikeen are addressed. Never the Ahlul Kitab are addressed. Only Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the Nasara and the Jews, Yahud, they are mentioned as a sign of warning to the Muslim Ummah. They were the former Muslim Ummah. Look to their fate. What has happened to them? They have become maghdoob alayhim. Beware lest you should also follow in their footsteps. As a sign of warning, they have been mentioned. But no address to them. Quran has addressed them, you know. Fully in Surah Al-Baqarah, the address covering 10 sections of Surah Al-Baqarah. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وعفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. The first ayah of the fifth section. And going up to the first ayah of the 15th section. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. Continuous 10 sections are devoted to the address to the Jews. The address to the Christians. Mostly in Surah Al-Imran. Then you find both Surah Maida, Surah Al-Nisa. Ahle Kitab have been addressed already. Now all these 10 surahs, in them only the Muslims are addressed. Point number three. In addressing the Muslims, there is one common point. Admonition, rebuke, reproach, censure. What is happening to you, O Muslims? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why are you saying what you are not doing? وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. What has happened to you? Why don't you have the real faith? وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What has happened to you? Why are you not ready to spend for the cause of Allah? This is a common factor in all these surahs. Admonition, reproach, rebuke, censure, lie, because during the later part of the Madani period, the average or the mean regarding the passion, the zeal, the fervor of Iman and Jihad fi sabilillah had decreased. The fervor, the zeal, the love, the passion for Jihad fi sabilillah, to be killed for the cause of Allah. I quoted you the hadith. La wazidtu an uqtala fi sabilillah. Summa huya, summa uqtala, summa huya, summa uqtala. I very much desire, very much wish, very much cherish that I should be killed in the cause of Allah. Then resurrected and then again killed, and then resurrected and again killed. And the Prophet had said, whosoever Muslim dies in a condition that he never went to war for the cause of Allah, and he didn't even have a desire in his heart, فَقَدْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ شَوْبَةٍ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ. He has died not on Iman but on Nifaq. The desire should be there at least. Maybe that the occasion doesn't come in his life. So many Sahaba died before, you know, the series of wars or battles started. They died. But they should have in their hearts the desire to be killed for the cause of Allah. Whosoever dies, lam yaghzu, he never went to any ghatwa, any war for the cause of Allah. وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثْ نَفْسَهُ لِذَٰلِكَ. Nor he had any desire in his heart to that end. He has died not as a mu'min, but as a munafiq. فَقَدْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ شَوْبَةٍ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ. So actually what was happening? I used to was the mean and the average had decreased. Why? Not that the level of Iman or passion for Jihad or infaq in Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali had decreased. No, not at all. No question of that. But because so many new converts had entered the fold of Islam, and many of them were belonging to that category, which we have already studied in Surah Al-Hujurat. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. These Bedouins are claiming that they have come to believe. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all come to believe. Don't be mistaken. Don't deceive yourself. All that you may say is that you have become Muslims. The real faith has not as yet entered your hearts. With the result that the mean must have come down. The average has come down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pointing to that decreased mean or average of the passion or love or zeal or fervor for the cause of Allah, He is addressing, warning them. And in this way, this collection of surahs has become most important for the ummah today. The mean had decreased at that time, it has come to zero at this time. Where is that passion? Bhoola bhoolko chirage rukhe zeba lekar. Where are they? Do you find the moment? You have to search hard. The mu'min whom we find described in the Quran. The mu'min of Quran is something else. And the mu'min of the Muslims of today is something else. So actually this portion of the Quran, these 10 surahs are the most important part of the Quran for the Muslims to study today. So that they are shaken, they are warned, they are awakened from their slumber and sleep. Their contentment that we are Muslims, okay, then we salvation is reserved for us. We have an reservation in the Jannah. Because we are Muslims. Because we believe in Muhammad. And Allah said a very beautiful verse. When the Jews said, قَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَىٰ نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. These Jews and these Christians are saying, we are like sons to Allah, we are very dear to Allah. The comments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were, فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِظُلُوبِكُمْ. If you are so dear to Him actually, why is He punishing you for your misdeeds? He punished you, He gave you a threshing at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He massacred 600,000 of Jews in Jerusalem and took another 600,000 as captives to Babylonia. Not a single soul remained in Jerusalem. The Temple of Solomon demolished. If you are so dear to Allah, why this happened to you? Why were you mauled at the hands of the Greeks and the Romans? In the year 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, massacred 133,000 in one day in Jerusalem. Again demolished. And from that day, the Temple of Solomon lies demolished, raised to the ground. The Jews go there, a small portion of the foundation wall is intact. They go and weep there, wailing wall. They just, you know, just like our Ahl-e Tashayyu, they make matam. But their matam is not beating the chest. They have this direction, you know, as if they will spike their heads to the wall. But they keep at a safe distance, no doubt. Just like some of the Ahl-e Tashayyu, they only have a symbolic, you know, movement of their hands. In the same way, but that's the wailing wall. Nothing of that remains. Please remember, 1924 years have passed, that their Kaaba is lying waste to the ground. It is Kaaba for them. And now they are girding up their loins to demolish Masjid al-Aqsa and rebuild the temple. I have with me the diagram, the structure that they have decided to erect there. Because Hamas of Palestine, they have established an office in Pakistan also. And they have published that picture there. These are their designs. Anyhow, Quran said to them, فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ. The same is to us all. So these surahs of the Quran are very important for the Muslim Ummah. And they are only 1/30th part of the Quran. Only if the Muslim Ummah can concentrate on these 10 surahs, they have all that Quran you actually want from them. And that is why the next and the final point about these surahs is that these surahs have very brief but very comprehensive summaries of very lengthy discussions of Makki surahs and Madani surahs. One of the basic subjects of Makki surahs is Iman, faith. And we have Surah Al-Taghabun, we have studied it. Only 18 ayat and the whole thing about Iman discussed. And one of the main issues of the Madani surah is Nifaq. And we have Surah Al-Munafiqun in this collection. 11 ayat and the whole subject discussed. Because there are people like us, ease-loving people. They need summaries to pass examinations. They don't want to read the whole course. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has catered to our weaknesses also. If you can't read the whole of Quran, read this one part and a little bit more. Surah Al-Halim and then one part, the 28th part of the Quran. Now, out of these 10 surahs, 5 start with Sabbaha Lillahi or Yusabbihu Lillahi. دے آر کال المسبحات، دس از اے کلیکٹو نیم گیون ٹو دیم. سبحان اللہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض، یسبح للہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. سورۃ الحدید سات بجے سبحان اللہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. سورۃ الحشر سبحان اللہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. سورۃ الصف سبحان اللہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. سورۃ الجمعہ یسبح للہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. سورۃ التغابن یسبح للہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. دیز آر دی فائیو المسبحات. The other five are non-musabbihat. And among these ten, the musabbihat are more important. Out of these ten, three pairs are one from the musabbihat and one from the non-musabbihat. Suratul Hadith and Suratul Mujadala. One pair. When we shall study Suratul Hadith, we shall understand that. Then one musabbihat and the other non, Suratul Hajj and Suratul Mumtahina. Again, Surat al-Munafiqun and Surat al-Taghabun. One pair is out of the non-musabbihat. Surat al-Talaq, Surat al-Tahrim. Ya ayyuhal nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allahu lak. Ya ayyuhal nabi, idha tallaqtumun nisa fa talliquhunna li iddatihinna. But in the absolute center of these ten, there is a pair, both of which are musabbihat, and that is Surat al-Saf and Surat al-Jumu'ah. From one aspect, they are the most important surahs of this collection. Surah Al-Saf starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And Surah Al-Jumu'ah starts, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And this is one of the most beautiful examples of the pairs of surahs in the Quran. What's the basis of pairship? This is the most important point. Surah Al-Saf basically discusses the central theme of Surah Al-Saf is what was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot assess a personality as to whether he was a successful person or a failure unless what was the purpose that he had before him. What was the goal that he had set before him? From with reference to that purpose and goal, you say whether he succeeded or not. The purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please note here, Muhammad himself was one of the messengers of Allah. No doubt. So the basic purpose of his advent was the same as the basic purpose of the advent of all the messengers of Allah. There can be no doubt. What was that basic function? رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. We have discussed it in the last lesson, Surah Al-Hajj. But Muhammad was not only one of the messengers of Allah. He was the last and the final and the most complete messenger of Allah. On him the deen was completed. On him the light was complete. اليوم اكملت لكم دينكم واتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الاسلام دينا. He was not only one of the messengers. He was one of the messengers, no doubt. ما كنت بدعا من الرسل. But he was the final. He was the last. The institution of prophethood came to its zenith, came to its climax in him. What does it mean? The guidance became complete. The noor of Allah was completed. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمَّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. And this is one of the ayat of this surah as-Saf. Then the deen of Allah was completed. Not only the light, not only the basic guidance, but the system of life, a complete system of life in every respect, based on justice and fair play. That is the deen. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. This is the exclusive position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other messenger of Allah, no other prophet of Allah stands with him shoulder to shoulder at this level. That is why the purpose of his advent has been given thrice in the Quran, in the same verse, and note it. It's a measure of the importance of some subject if it appears in the Quran repeatedly in the same verse. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is He, that is Allah, who sent His Messenger, that is Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, with two things, the light, al-huda, bil-huda, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, and the true and just social order, so that He should make it supreme over the whole system of life. So He was not sent only for preaching. He was not sent only for the purification of the souls of the individuals. He was sent to establish the deen of Allah, to make it supreme, actually supreme. Not written in the books only. Just like the Republic of Plato. The book is not a very great book. How long it has lived? It is living even today. How many years old? Written 300 years before Christ. The book is still living, but it's the book, the Republic, which was mentioned and discussed there, never was established in this world even for a second. So it's a utopia. It's a kind of a dream. You can see the best dream. But implement it, establish it, show it to us in a practical form. And the only prophet among the prophets of Allah, the only messenger among the all the messengers of Allah who did it was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the basic dissociation between the purpose of advent of all the other messengers of Allah and the purpose of advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You may say it has a higher level. The basic level is the same. To make dawah, to convey the message, to call people towards Allah, to call them to the right path, whosoever is coming to purify their souls. That's the basic function is this. So that people can't say on the day of judgment, they can't plead ignorance that the message was not conveyed to us. Basic function is this, which every messenger of Allah fulfills to its full. But the additional burden on the shoulders of Muhammad was to make it supreme, establish it, produce before the humanity for all times to come a model that this is not a utopia, this is not the Republic of Plato, this is the deen of Allah which was established in its pristine totality. By Muhammad and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ajma'in. Muhammadur Rasulullah wal-lazina ma'ahu ashiddaw ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum. Now this is the main theme of Surah Al-Saff. For that purpose, now the people who profess, they believe in Allah and in the Messenger, they have to live for that, to die for that. To call for jihad. And if you shun from jihad, if you shirk from it, then you are not Muslims, not you are Mormons. Go and sit there. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. If you shirk from it, if you shun it, if you turn your faces away from it, then go and sit there. Just wait till we announce our final judgment. Then we are not going to guide such people. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. This is the crucial question every one of us should ask to himself. Am I ready for that? Or I am prepared to sit there waiting for the last judgment of Allah? Anyhow, this is the main theme which I told you in the very beginning, my first lecture. The umood. Every surah has an umood, has a central theme. And with the central theme, all the ayat are connected. Just as if you have a garland of flowers or pearls, you know, there is that string in which these pearls or these beads or the flowers, they are, you know, this string, you know, is holding them. So the string is here in Surah Saf is, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And now the other side of the question is, how to get people for this job? One of our room has said, in beautiful terms, insanam arzust, I very much long and wish to see a man. Man. There are people who appear to be human beings. I want to see a real human being. Insanam arzust. So here we may say, Moments are required. How to get them? Where to get them? How to train them? Because the heart cannot be done without a group, a party of dedicated people and organized people. The depth of commitment, the depth of dedication, then their discipline. These three things, if they are not fulfilled, they can't go to the heart, they can't live the heart. They may make facade. Which most of the people are doing today, in the name of jihad, doing fasad. What is happening in Afghanistan today? The name of jihad, you know, to it, a dishonor has, a disrepute has been brought. Jihad ki chalega, this is jihad ki chalega, going on. So actually, how to get these people, how to train them? What's the basic methodology of the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is the main theme of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. And the central ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah is, just see how parallel words are. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. This is ayah number 9 of Surah Al-Saf. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. How can you? This is the goal of the advent of Muhammad, the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the methodology. To get people for that cause, to train them for that cause, to educate them for that cause. And please, one thing should be very clear. For every purpose and every goal, there is a definite methodology. You might be very sincere in your purpose, but if you have adopted a wrong methodology, you are bound to fail. Crop of wheat, there is a particular weather in which it can be sold. If out of your sincerity and out of your passion and everything, you go and sow the seed in the wrong weather, you will lose the seed. Howsoever sincere you might be, you can't get the result. You can't reap the harvest. It has a methodology of its own. That has to be kept in mind. That has to be fulfilled. That has to be followed. Every purpose cannot be fulfilled by any methodology that you may adopt. You know, Marxism is the philosophy. Was a philosophy, you may say. It's nearly dead now. If it is not resurrected somewhere. For the time being, we can say it's dead. But it was a very living reality of this century. The Bolshevik Revolution of 1907. That event was governing the direction of the events of the whole century. It was so profound an event, the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. It has a philosophy, an ideology, and it can be brought about, the Marxist revolution or the communist revolution, through a particular methodology. Without adopting that methodology, if you hope that you can bring about a communist revolution, then you are losing your time. To say the most lenient words, in the same way, that object of making the deen of Allah supreme, which was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has a methodology of its own. You can't copy other parties, other groups, other nations. Well, they did it like this. Why can't we do it? If you want to bring about a communist revolution, you have to bring about and produce a class consciousness among the people. Then you have to bring about a class struggle among the people. Then make them fight. Without that, if somebody says, okay, this bloodshed is not okay, it's a bad thing, then you sit at home. You can't hope for a communist revolution. In the same way, to establish the deen of Allah, it cannot be this cherished goal of ours. Howsoever sincere we might be, howsoever hard workers we might be, whatsoever sacrifices we might make in the cause, but we will not be able to succeed unless we adopt and take up the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That point should be 100% clear. And that is what is actually happening to most of the revivalist Islamic movements of today. I don't say they are not sincere. No. People are laying down their lives. Who can question their sincerity? In Algiers, in Egypt, and how many, you know, in Afghanistan? How many people? Not only from Afghanistan, people from Pakistan, people from India, people from Kashmir, people from Burma, people from Malaysia, Indonesia, Sudan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, going, taking part in that jihad, laying down their lives. Who can say they were not sincere? But the result is very disappointing. Why? The only way, the only answer is methodology was not correct. And let me give you now a saying of Imam Malik rahimahullah. And I want to mention it and pray for Maulana Abul Kalam Azad. He quoted this saying of Imam Malik in the first issue of the paper he issued in 1912, Al-Hilal. The saying of Imam Malik is, لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. The last part of this ummah will not be able to be reformed, but on the pattern, on the lines, through the methodology, with which the first part of the ummah was reformed. لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. And this awwal wa akhir, let me quote the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is from Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has included it in his Musnad. The Prophet said, تَكُونُ النَّبُوَّةُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ ذَا شَاءَ يَرْفَعَهَا. Prophethood will remain amongst you so long as Allah wants it to remain. That is, I will remain with you. But one day Allah Ta'ala will lift it away, lift it up, that I will die. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً عَلَى مِنْ هَذِي النُّبُوَّةِ. Then there will be a period of khilafah, vicegerency, caliphate, in the footsteps of nubuwah. فَتَكُونُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَكُونُ. It will also remain, so long as Allah wants it to remain. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ ذَا شَاءَ يَرْفَعَهَا. When Allah will decide, it will come to an end. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا عَابًا. Then there will be a period of cruel kingship. Kings, the Umayyads and the Abbasids, calling themselves caliphs, but they were actually kings. They built palaces. They gathered all the luxuries of life. They didn't lead the lives that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Abu Bakr or Umar or Usman or Ali led. رضي الله تعالى عنهم اجمعين. Cruel kingship. It's during this period that the incident of Karbala took place. The incident of Harra took place. Not only Hussain ibn Ali and his companions martyred, but also Abdullah ibn Zubayr and his companions martyred. It was this very period during which, at the hands of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, hundreds of Tabi'een martyred. It was during this period that Muhammad bin Qasim was recalled from India and killed. because he had become very popular. The person who took the young man, who took the flag of Islam to the Indian subcontinent, as such a virtuous young man that the Hindus in India, they thought he is a god incarnate. They made idols. They were worshipping him. He called them martyrs. Otherwise, actually, the whole of India would have come at that very moment within the caliphate. But what happened? It was only after 300 years that Islam entered India through the northwest frontier. For 300 long years, the talk was interrupted. Anyhow, this was the third period, as prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, this will also come to an end when Allah would decide to put an end to it. But then there will be a worse period. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًا فَتَكُونُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ. Then there will be a period of slavery. Slaves to the Britishers, slaves to the French, slaves to the Italians, slaves to the Dutch. This is the period. The colonial rule, which apparently has come to an end, but not really. It's continuing, but by proxy, through remote control. But then the Prophet said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَكَ عَلَىٰ مِنْ هَذِ النَّبُوَّةِ. Then again there will be a period of خِلَافَ عَلَىٰ مِنْ هَذِ النَّبُوَّةِ. That is the last part of the Ummah. And the first part of the Ummah was the days of the Prophet and the period of Al-Khilafatul Rashida, the pious caliphate. Hazrat Imam Malik says, rahimahullah, لَنْ تَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. And somebody invited my attention when I published this saying of Imam Malik a few years back in our journal Misaq. Then there was a letter. The person told me, actually these are the wordings of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. When he nominated Hazrat Umar as his successor, he delivered a khutbah, a sermon, and he included these words, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ لَا يَسْلَهُ آخِرُهُ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهُ. This amr, this deen, the awwal wa akhir, will be reformed through the same pattern. So this is actually the subject of this prayer of the surah, Surah Al-Saf, the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Surah Al-Jum'ah, the basic methodology, how to get the human potential, manpower, requisite manpower for this purpose. How to train them. That is the basic subject of Surah Al-Jum'ah. Now, this much about the preliminary discussion regarding Surah Al-Saf. Let us begin at least with the first ayah. We have a few minutes at our disposal. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything that is in the heavens and that is in the earth glorifies Allah. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the all-powerful, having all the authority, but at the same time, all-wise. Because I have discussed this thing regarding Surah At-Taghabun, only rapidly I will mention a few things. سَبَحَ يَسْبَحُ in Arabic means something which is floating on the surface of the water or in the air, keeping its level, not going down. It's سَبَحَ يَسْبَحُ. That is why Quran says, كُلُّن فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. All these planets and stars, they are floating in their own orbits. سَبَحَ يُسَبِّحُ means to keep something afloat, not letting it drown or go down. What is the tasbih for Allah? Keep Him on His high position. Don't associate anything, anyone with Him, any concept which not becomes of Him. He is free from all weaknesses, all shortcomings.
This is tasbih, subhanallah. And everything is doing it. How? Number one, it's just possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have given everything a tongue with which it is performing this tasbih. Because we find in Surah Bani Israel, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ لَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَاكِن لَّا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There's nothing which is not glorifying Allah with praise for Him, but you can't understand their tasbih. The other aspect of this tasbih is that they can understand that everything by its own existence is saying, as if saying, my Creator is a complete person in every respect. His power, His authority, His wisdom, His knowledge, everything is complete. Because a picture, you know, it says by its very existence whether the artist who has painted it is master of his art or not. Any piece of furniture, by its very existence, it testifies whether the carpenter who had made it, he knows his job or not. So all these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are glorifying Him by their very existence. This is the second aspect which we can understand. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz means the person whose authority is unlimited. No checks and balances. Because we have concept, and this is something which is discussed in the political science, the philosophy of constitutions. Wherever there is authority, there should be some checks and balances. Because the axiom is, authority tends to corrupt, and absolute authority corrupts absolutely. But Allah, He has the absolute authority, but along with that, He has the absolute wisdom. His authority cannot corrupt, cannot take any wrong direction, because He has all the authority, but at the same time, He is all-wise, al-hakim, His wisdom is complete. These two things are side by side. And these two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I told you at that time, they are repeated in these surahs many times. Al-Aziz, al-Hakim, as a pair of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the second ayah, about which we have discussed before. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون. The basic theme of all these surahs. Admonition, censure, calling the Muslims to reassess themselves. Why your passion for jihad is decreasing? Why your fervor of jihad is decreasing? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say what you don't practice? Your tall claims of Iman, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُمِنُوا وَلَا تُقُلُوا أَسْمَنَّا. Don't claim you are a mu'min. But claiming to be a mu'min, claiming to be lovers of Allah's Messenger, Ishq-e Rasool, taking out processions for the birthday of the Prophet, but not following Him, praising Him, declaring Him to be equal to Allah, committing shirk, but not following Him, claim of love, adoration, everything. لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It's very big for Allah's displeasure, Allah's wrath. It's outrageous for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say what you are not doing. This is the beginning of the surah. You can imagine. This is the start. So be prepared and come prepared tomorrow to understand this surah with a firm resolve in your hearts that whatever comes before us, if it appeals to our hearts and minds both, that this is correct, this is the message of Allah, this is the message of Quran, then we have to practice it and follow it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.